This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm very worried. I'm very, very, very worried. Evan Attiki on the Fan. I'll tell you why I'm worried. I'm not easily drawn into cults. Not easily swayed by people. Even politicians, even great politicians. But the one thing is, sometimes when you're such a great speech giver, when you say things with such conviction, and you say things a certain way, it doesn't even matter. You're just like, you're locked in. And to me, there are two presidents that I love to listen to. I'll Google and YouTube their clips late into the night. Barack Obama and Ronald Reagan. Two very different people, by the way, from different political aisles, if you will. It has nothing to do with what they said politically, but my God, could they captivate you with their words. And I laugh sometimes. I'm like, you know what? I kind of have positive opinions about both guys, so I don't get worried about it. They're both kind of gone. Barack can't run again, and Reagan, unfortunately, is no longer with us. But I'm like, man, that's dangerous, because you can really convince somebody of anything. And the reason I bring this up is because of Rex Ryan. I have made it very clear to you, Tiki, I have no interest in hiring Rex Ryan. I don't. I think going back is stupid. Joe has brought this up to us many times over the last few months. And while I fully understand why Ben Engle feels that way and other Jet fans feel that way, I don't think it's right. But Rex Ryan's gone on a media tour over the last couple of days. He was on Pardon My Take. He was on ESPN, and when he talks, I admit this, he's captivating. So I'm telling you I'm worried, because I know it's a bad decision. I know hiring Rex Ryan is stupid, but I'm telling you, he's got a Reagan-Obama thing going. I know that's very high praise.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think you're only saying that because you're familiar with Rex Ryan. And you feel like you understand what he could potentially bring, who he is. And so as a Jet fan, it sounds enticing to you, or it sounds interesting, or even or not interesting. You're fearful that it could happen. To me, I think it's just TV bloviating. I think it's utter nonsense. He has no tie. He has no interaction. And I doubt very seriously, with all the available candidates that are potentially head coaching candidates for the New York Jets, that Rex Ryan is top of their list right now.
So two things I want to do with you right now. First thing I want you to do is, can you close your eyes, Tiki?
Sure.
All right, I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to play you Rex Ryan giving an Obama-Reagan-esque speech about wanting to coach the Jets, and be perfectly honest with me and say, nah, did nothing for me, Evan, or wow, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
take a
I'll
listen.
Be an IFO.
You're going to be an IFO, and I'm going to close my eyes too. Everyone should close their eyes unless they're driving. Keep your eyes open. Here is Rex Ryan bloviating or inspiring yesterday on ESPN.
I look at it this way. Blow it up. We're going to blow the opponents up. There's way too much talent on this team to play the way we've been playing, period. And how hard can you get a guy to play? That's the thing. Like, nobody's seen a team going to play the way as hard as this team's going to play in the future. Trust me, if I'm the guy. Trust me. And that's going to be it. That's what's going to separate me from all these other guys you're going to bring in. You know, your Grudens, your whoever, whatever. Give me a break. They ain't New York Jets. I'm all about the Jets. And the great thing is, all right, yeah, second chance. You get a second chance at it and things like that. Doesn't happen very often. Yeah, well, when it does, it's usually special. And so we'll find out if I get that chance or not. If not, then, you know, hope they have one hell of a guy in place, because I still want to be a fan of the Jets. I still want to be. But, you know, when I look around, I know nobody's better than me.
Did it tingle, Tiki?
No, not at all.
Really?
He's just manipulating you.
He's manipulating me?
Why are you Jet fans? And I heard you, the whole station talked about this for hours. I said, blessedly, thank you, Daniel Jones. Thank you, Daniel Jones, for walking in over here at Giants or Quest Diagnostic Field, going into John Mara's office, requesting your release, heading down 95, eventually going to sign with the Baltimore Ravens.
I've really convinced you on that.
Yeah, and you know, brought some different news to WFAN today. Because if I had to listen to any more seconds of Rex Ryan talk and debating about whether he's going to be great like he was or bad like he was at the end, it's just like there's so many great candidates. Why would you turn back the clock for Rex Ryan?
Tiki.
He hasn't coached in 5 years.
I agree with
you. I know nobody's better than me.
And look, I love Rex Ryan. He lived in Florham Park. He would see Tracy, my wife, at Starbucks every morning and be like, hi, Mrs. Barber. The great, charismatic as a head coach.
That's the
end. Even though she didn't take my last name. She's a Johnson. But still, it was one of those things where you just loved him. But I mean, come on. Stop with the Rex Ryan stuff.
So, Tiki, I agree with you. And I've made that very, very clear. That while I appreciate what he did for me, I'm not interested. But he speaks in a way that tingles. Now, that did not tingle for you, and that's great. But I'm going to tell you one. I'll just play this one last clip. I'm going to tell you why you should be worried.
Go ahead.
Why?
I'm not worried about it at all.
No, but you should be, and why I am. Because you're right. This is, you know, a 10-minute, Rex, screw him, he's talking a lot, whatever. But here's why I do think it's real. And I hope you can convince me that I'm wrong, because I don't want it to be real.
Go ahead.
Rex said something on Pardon My Take this morning, and I think he's right about how if he gets in the room, it's over. Listen to this.
I think if I took over, it'd be turned in about 2 minutes.
Well, that's more bloviation. Oh, shut up, gosh. Rex. I meant this part where he said, get me in the room with Woody, and it's over.
I'm trying to. It's crazy, but I know when I get an opportunity to interview for it, I'm going to get the job. That's how I feel about it. If I get that opportunity, great. If not, they want to go a different direction, then so be it. But I can tell you one thing. I never had this kind of talent. When I coached the Jets.
All right, shut up, Rex.
Never
close. That first part scared me, Teak. You want to know why?
Why?
I don't trust Woody Johnson. And I believe that Rex is very manipulative and is very good with his words and does have that I can convince you on anything even if it's not true thing. And I believe Woody Johnson, who I do not trust as owner, I unveiled our rankings the other day. He's the worst owner in New York sports. I'm not convinced he's going to see what you see and what I see. Tell me I'm wrong, Teak.
Well, I mean, when you're familiar with someone, it's easier, but there's also a process that you have to go through. And I think one of the issues, actually, I don't think this was the issue with Robert Saleh, but I think one of the issues some owners make, so I'm not specifying anyone, some owners make is that they start their head coaching process knowing who they want to hire.
Yeah.
And they know because of the Rooney Rule, they have to go through the process. So they'll hire, they'll interview some minority candidates. They'll interview, you know, some regular Caucasian candidates. Or they'll interview whoever. But they're not listening. It doesn't matter who's in the room because they're not listening to them. They're set on comparing that person to the person they've already had in their mind that they want to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any flaw, well, yeah, how does he compare to Rex? Oh, well, how does he compare to Rex? Great, he was awesome, but how does he compare to Rex? You short-circuit the actual exploration of finding the right coach for your team as it exists now, not Rex Ryan from a decade ago. So it's just, to me, I think it's so short-sighted.
I agree.
To sit here and argue about Rex Ryan being the head coach.
I'm worried what
maybe
he'll do
if
it.
You go interview all these guys and you ask them, hey, you know, tell me what your scheme would be or what your philosophy on this would be, and they're dead in the water, they can't explain it. Or tell me what staff you would hire. Oh, well, I don't know. Who would you help me hire somebody? Yeah, that's not going to be your guy. When you go through the process and you find someone who's none of them fit the bill, then maybe you go talk to Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan can't be your lead.
I agree.
He can't be that guy.
I agree.
That
but
you're
I'm,
hanging your hat on and comparing everybody else to.
I completely agree with you.
And that's nothing against Rex, by the way.
No, it's.
But it just doesn't make sense to me.
It would be a terrible hire, and I love him. I mean, I love what he did. I'm worried the owner won't feel the same way. This owner reads social media. This owner wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers 4 weeks in. Like what I said to you the other day when we were talking about the Woody Johnson thing, how. That's what worries me more. It's not the individual decisions. It's not necessarily a trade he vetoed. It's overall, I've got an owner I can't trust. I can't trust the owner. And if I can't trust the owner, then crazy internet ideas or ideas from a guy who's campaigning openly could happen. If we were talking about the Giants or even the Mets or the Yankees or the any other franchise in this town, I'd laugh at it. I'd say, come on, so stupid. But deep down, Teague, you know this owner's capable of anything, and that's what scares me.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad decision.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Shut up, Rex. That was the past.
Right.
What's that movie where I think it was, the guy was spraying the stuff like, get out of here. Go back to the past. Was that Back to the Future? I can't even remember. No, it was Field of Dreams. Right?
What?
Was it James Earl Jones was spraying the thing like, get out of here.
Spraying what?
Don't you remember that scene?
No.
What scene? You haven't described anything yet.
You're having a conversation in your own head.
The guy that sprayed something?
I thought that James Earl Jones, and man, I've seen Field of Dreams 55 times, I'm forgetting. Like where he was like, go back to the past, you're not real, because he didn't want to admit to Kevin Costner that he was seeing these things.
But what did he spray, Febreze?
He was spraying something at Costner. That's what it was. It was when Ray Kinsella went to his apartment. Teague, did you see Field of Dreams?
Yes, of course.
So
I'm just not remembering the scene at all.
You're going to remember it. Here we go.
Okay.
Ray Kinsella is in man's apartment. That's James Earl Jones.
Yes.
And he's trying to convince him, I have to take you to a Red Sox game. He's trying to convince him. I got voices. They were at my house. They're telling me. And finally, he takes a spray and says, go back to the 60s. Get out of here. And he throws him out. And then finally, Ray obviously convinces him, and
right,
they go to the Red Sox game. So what I'm doing is I'm like James Earl Jones. I'm spraying Rex Ryan away, saying, stop. Go back to the past,
but those people that are watching on SNY right now, what you're doing with your hands here is not spraying. I don't know what the heck this is.
Well, I was acting like I'm spraying.
No, but that's not spraying. You took your hands into like knuckles like this, like fists, and you're bouncing them off each other. That's not spraying. This is the camera.
How do you spray, Tommy? Show me how you spray.
You spray like this, or you spray like this.
Yeah, I think if you rewatch the movie, you'll see that he was spraying like a big thing where he had his two hands up. The way
you need to. This is also a children's program there, big fella.
What does that have to do with
it? I just don't know what you're doing over there. This is not spraying.
Can you do me a favor? I know you're very busy back there.
Yes.
Can you pull up Field of Dreams?
I am. I'm looking for it.
Find the scene I'm talking
about.
Can't
find it. I looked for it.
What do you mean you can't find it?
I'm looking for it on Google. I typed in everything you said,
no,
and nothing's
coming
up.
Look for it in the actual movie. Go find the actual movie.
Oh, yeah. Let me just log into Netflix.
Hold
on.
Dude, I promise.
YouTube will have it.
I think YouTube will have it, and I promise you during our next commercial break, I will find it. Like, this is what I will find the scene. You guys just don't know how to do certain
things. Tommy, how about a deal? Either you find the scene or you have to lead with Soto splitting two teams for your Lugauer.
The Soto share? Well, the scene might not exist. It's not about finding it.
No, trust me, the scene exists. I promise you
that. If you find it, he will come.
Brilliant, Barber. Brilliant. That broadcasting school really paid off.
Very nice.
Never went.
Let's go to, all right, so many options of where we should go. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. How are you, Josh?
Hey, guys. You know, two things about Tommy DeVito really quickly. Number one, I feel like a lot of the reasons that people are excited for him are non-football related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's Italian, hometown kid, you know, undrafted, all these things. But we don't really give, you know, the technical reasons when you look, you know, I know Tiki mentioned briefly his sack rate and things like that, but it's like, you know, we get excited for those ancillary things, not really the football part of it.
Well, he did win three games, one of only, I think, two or three undrafted free agent rookies in the last 25 years to win three games when they played. I mean, there were some positives about Tommy DeVito playing for the New York Giants a year ago. He threw three interceptions. They came in his first two games. One a relief appearance, one his first start. That was only one. And then he didn't throw another interception with eight touchdowns.
But you're both right.
He wasn't bad.
Yeah, I think you're both right, though. I think that we did see good things from him last year. They should not be ignored. He had me certainly buying in for a while, but I also think he is right that there are a lot of fans excited about Tommy DeVito for things that have nothing to do with football.
Yeah.
He's local. He's Italian. He has a great story. Like, we all love great stories.
You know what it is, Evan? He feels like the everyman.
Right.
It's like the guy who's not supposed to be on an NFL team, who's on an NFL team.
Right.
And he's getting a chance to play. And you know what? Last year we saw him and he was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So now we're going to see him again. And he's us.
By the way, I already found the scene. That's how damn good I am with this. While you were talking,
what you were looking for.
I knew I'm on Netflix. Netflix is the one that has Field of Dreams. Like, one of the real frustrating things is when you want to watch a movie and you don't know who has it.
Right. IMDb. You got to go to IMDb.
Is that what tells you?
Go to IMDb, just search it, and it'll tell you where you can watch it, and if you have to pay for it, or you can stream it.
So I found it on Netflix. I've already got the scene. It's at the 56:53 mark. I can't tell if it's 56 minutes left in the movie or 56 minutes into the movie,
Which side says 56, the right or the left?
The right side, so it's probably how much is left.
Yeah,
but I've already got James Earl Jones saying there's no place for you here in the future. Go back while you still can. That's what I'm saying to Rex Ryan. I'm saying exactly James Earl Jones' lines. Can you pull the scene? We could play it in like 5 seconds. In fact, I could play for it right now. Here we go. Here we go. There we go. He sprang it.
Wait a second. No place for you here in the future. Get back where you still can.
Yeah, hold on before he curses. But I found the spray. How does he spray it?
So he does this.
Yeah, I was right. No, he's spraying like this.
This.
Oh, man. I can't believe I found the scene like in 3 minutes. Tiki gave a great answer about Tommy DeVito, and I was like, I'm going to take advantage of this right now. Let's go to Don in Greenlawn. How are you, Don?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys, and I listen to you guys every day. I'm glad to get through.
Appreciate it.
Say hello. But, you know, I'm one of the guys who has always been inspired by Rex's rhetoric. But give me some football reasons, guys, why you don't think.
Oh, I'll give you football reasons. He hired Tony Sparano as his offensive coordinator. The team went backwards in the last 4 years. He looked lifeless in the last 4 years. He did not put the right pieces around him, especially in terms of building a staff, especially at the end.
And how is he doing that now is also the question.
How's he doing it now? Great question.
And so it's just hard. Unless he has, I was going to say the infrastructure of the organization, but do the Jets have that? They don't have a president of football operations, right? I mean, most of the staff is likely to be gone. I guess the scouting department has some people who have relationships, but who's doing that for him?
And if we were falling in love with him because he's inspirational, you know who also is inspirational? He's only 70, and I think age is just a number. Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards got the Jets to the playoffs 3 times. Why don't we bring Herm back? Let's start a campaign. Herm. Oh, wait, no, screw that. I love you, Herm. I'm sorry, bro. I got a better idea. Because, again, age is just a number. Who cares if a guy's 83 years old? Let's bring Bill Parcells back. Bill built it. He fixed the Jets. Let's bring Bill back. Since we're going into a freaking, like,
you play to win the game.
Like a Back to the Future thing, the machine where we're going back to DeLorean. Since we're in the DeLorean, let's go all the way with it, Teak. What about Weeb Eubank? Wow. Can we bring him back, too? We can bring Weeb Eubank back. We can bring back dead people. Why the hell not?
Evan, if you hire Parcells, you might finally beat the Dolphins. You know why?
Because he's a big tuna.
Dolphins safe tuna. I'll see you later.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Oh, God.
If that's your best joke, go away. Just go to Boomer and Geo Live right now. Just leave.
No, it's early. It's too early.
Tommy, the reason that you didn't understand what Evan was doing is because when you think of spray, you think of like a spray can. I just watched the scene, too.
Okay, can you describe the scene of James Earl Jones, please?
So it's think about a bug sprayer from the 1940s, 50s, where you have to – it's like a long tube, and you have to push the – the mist out of the can.
You have to push, right?
Yeah, you have to push it. That's why it doesn't look like what you were trying to describe, where you're just holding a button on the top of a aerosol can.
That's right.
Like I was spraying daisies or something like that. Like I was watering it.
He was using a very old can, and the actual quote James Earl Jones had when he was telling Kevin Costner to go back in time was, "Yes, I suppose I have," because he accused him of changing. How about this? Peace, love, dope. Now get the hell out of here. That was his line to Kevin Costner. So I could do that to Rex, like, because I'm trying to get him back into the past. Shoving him back into the...
And he slammed the door in his face.
Yeah, yeah. And that's that's what I'm doing. I'm slamming the door back. I admit that some of his words inspire me. Like, I feel like I'm watching a Reagan speech, and he's saying, Gorbachev, tear down that wall. But he's not the answer. The answer... Look, there is already an answer. I've told everybody. There's one head coach for this job, and he will take it. It's not a pie-in-the-sky idea, and that is Brian Flores. He's the guy. He's a New York guy. He's going to learn from his mistakes in Miami. And that's the other thing. I think a part of coaching, because the thing about a rookie coach that would scare me is that they're learning on the job.
Yes.
They really are. They're going to make mistakes.
They don't know what they don't know.
You don't know what you don't know.
So even if accidentally you have some success, eventually you're going to fault because you don't have the experience. You're way into failure.
Exactly. So I like the idea.
Rookies suck.
Of bringing someone in, obviously someone who's already established, sure. I just think the Jets are going to have a tough time attracting anyone of that nature. So it's someone who's had a little bit of experience that was mostly good, and they have a chance to learn from said experience. And Brian Flores had that recently. Rex's experience was a decade ago, and it got worse.
Like I know nobody's better than me.
His tenure went backwards, not just with the Jets, but even with Buffalo. Let's go to Ralph in New Rochelle. How are you, Ralph?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, good.
It's a sad day because it didn't work, and that's the way I look at it. Being a Giant fan for 55 years, and seeing only we had five good quarterbacks. We never really had a great quarterback like Rodgers. You know what I'm saying? But we did win championship with those guys. So what I'm saying is that we still got to build a team. Jones. How many coaches and how many offensive coordinators did he have to go through for 6 years?
A lot.
Tiki, you played ball. Imagine that. Imagine every 2 years you had to change your head coach, your whole offense.
Right, it's hard.
It's hard.
It's learning a new language. And the coach wants something different. It's very hard. And you give Daniel Jones credit for, I don't want to say persevering because it's whatever, but pushing through that and finding success in moderate ways almost every time. You know what I mean? And so you give him credit for it, and it's why I think he'll be valuable somewhere. By the way, I looked it up, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Hudson Continuous Sprayer. Vintage Hudson Continuous Sprayer. That's what it's called.
So
James Earl Gerald Jones.
And that sprayer that I was imitating with my hands, it was an accurate hand description.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
It's called a Hudson Continuous Spray.
I think I'm going to buy one. I think those things are cool. By the way, let's play a little game. It's called the quarterback carousel game. So since Eli Manning retired, or Eli Manning was essentially replaced by Daniel Jones, there have been six different quarterbacks who have started a game for the Giants not named Daniel Jones.
Ooh,
okay? Six quarterbacks not named Daniel Jones who has started a game since that era began. Can you name the six guys?
Tommy DeVito?
Tommy DeVito is one. He will be making his seventh start on Sunday. Tiki will be on the call on CBS. That is the most of anyone not named Daniel Jones. He's number one.
At three. Interesting.
Number two.
Tyrod Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor has started five games. He's number two. You've got four guys left, three through six, guys who have started games in the Daniel Jones era. So far, Tiki's just destroying Sean. Sean's like,
I didn't know I was allowed to go. I could rattle them all off.
Yeah.
Can we Davis Webb, Jake Fromm.
Hold on one at a time. Davis Webb is last on the list. He started one game.
Only one to throw a touchdown to Kenny Golladay.
Well, let's see if Lugie can name one. He's a big Giant fan. Lugie, can you name one?
Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon is third on the list. He started four games. You've got two guys
left. He started four games?
Four games. Can you imagine that the Giants did that to us? That's abusive. That's fan abuse.
I mean, I remember him starting, but I don't remember it being four games.
Yeah. It was endless. It was horrible. And I don't mean that because he was not the best-looking guy. I meant it because he just was bad. Like, he wasn't a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fromm, I remembered when Sean said it.
Jake Fromm.
Fromm!
And the other one...
Jake Fromm started two games for the New York Football Giants. There's one guy left.
Yeah,
he
I
also
got it.
Started two games for the New York Football Giants.
It's a trick question. It's Eli Manning.
It is not Eli Manning.
Well, he started after Jones started as a rookie.
That's not what I was doing. I wasn't doing a trick game. I was just six guys.
Oh, then it's Colt McCoy with the win in Seattle.
There you go. Colt McCoy, who started two games as well. By the way, you want to play an even more depressing game?
What's that?
Want to name every quarterback the Jets have started in the 2000s?
No, because nobody can remember anymore.
By the way, I'll give you
a
factoid.
Too many.
You're right. It is too many. I have the exact number, and I'll give you this information quick. So since 2000, and this involves you, Teak, obviously.
Here it goes.
You've played with a bunch of these guys. The Giants have started since 2000, so that's 24 years, 11 different starting quarterbacks. Not that bad of a number.
Yeah, I mean, it is when you consider how many of those years were Eli Manning.
Well, yeah, but if you consider that, yes, you're right. Kid, you want to name the other guys that you played with, the three other guys that quarterbacked prior to Eli Manning and in the 2000s that make that number 11? They're your teammates, Tiki. So
Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins, good.
Jesse Palmer.
Jesse Palmer. And the other one you know. So let's not. Come on.
Yeah. Who, Eli? No. Oh, you mean Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. That's it. So you've had 11 quarterbacks in the last century, right, for the New York Giants. Do you know how many the Jets have had?
No.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Did they triple that?
Not quite. They've had 23 different starting quarterbacks since 2000.
And the Giants and Jets share one of them.
And the Giants and Jets share one of them. That's true. Isn't that crazy?
Rod Taylor. No, he didn't start.
No, it's actually Geno Smith.
Yeah,
I forgot about Geno Smith. That's right. He started a game for the Giants, too. Right. Absolutely crazy. Let's go to Kevin in Nutley, New Jersey. What's up, Kevin?
I actually just tweeted you, Evan. I just sent you a jersey that I made for Halloween with every single Jets starting quarterback from the 2000s. I was the Jets ghost. I was the Jets quarterback ghost for Halloween this year.
Oh,
so
that is great.
You're the best.
Bro, that is an all-timer right there, man.
It's incredible. Just look at the picture. Unfortunately, now to break up the good karma, because you'll yell at me now. I actually do want Rex back, and here's the reason why. I do think Woody's the worst owner in sports. For us to think that a Super Bowl is in anywhere in the near future, I think is dumb by us. So how about we just break the longest professional sporting drought of making the playoffs, right? Let's focus on that. And I honestly do, and Rex's staffs weren't all that bad. Like, Anthony Lynn, head coach, still in the league with the Commanders. Like, Shoddy still in the league. Callahan was the O-line coach. Like, Pettine was a DC who got a head coaching job.
Marty Morningwig and Tony Sperano are his offensive coordinator.
Evan, I get it. Okay. He's not going to be the coach here, but I do think that his initial injection could potentially break the playoff streak.
Kevin, I want to tell you why I won't yell at you. And Tiki, I hope you understand where I'm coming from, where you join me in this.
Let's hear it.
I'm not mad at Jet fans that want to hire Rex Ryan. I feel bad for them.
Huh.
I feel bad for them.
Interesting.
I think that you need to lay down on a sports psychiatrist chair. Is that where you lay when you go to a psychiatrist's office? I've actually never been to one. Do you lay on a chair or you sit down on a bed? Like, I don't even know how it works.
Yeah. Which one prescribes medicine?
A psychologist? No, I don't.
It's a psychiatrist or a psychologist.
I don't know.
I don't know the difference.
All I know is that my fellow Jet fans need help because we're broken people. We are broken, broken humans, and I get it. I'm not mad at you. We're all broken. Like, when Beningo first brought up Rex Ryan, I wasn't mad at him. He's broken. He'll be the first to tell you, bro, I'm broken. We're all broken.
I can't take it.
And when you're so broken, you cling for things. You cling for things that you think will give you, like, safety and will give you hope. And Rex was a guy who gave us hope for a period of time. He was a wonderful head coach here. I defend him at every turn. And I think that when you're sad like us as a franchise, you cling to things that probably aren't good for us, but you do it because it makes you feel good. And sometimes that short-term make you feel good is not better than the long-term medicine that we truly need. So I'm not mad at our last caller. I'm not mad at my fellow Jet fans. I feel for you. We all should feel for each other. We are such a broken group, Tiki, that this is the best we have.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Very, very sad.
And you dumped positive Tommy. That was a mistake.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because I could help the sadness. You don't need Rex Ryan. You had positive Tommy.
Positive Tommy, let me tell you something. I know you. I know you very well. I know you better than you.
Almost too well.
If Tiki didn't fire you a couple days ago.
From the Jet fandom.
From the Jet fandom, yes. You know what you'd be screaming on the radio today?
For the Jets, you mean?
For the Jets. Oh, I know.
Oh, I got it.
And Tiki knows, too.
Go ahead.
They gotta hire Rex! Rex Ryan's the answer!
You'd be doing everything that every delusional Jet fan wants to happen.
Exactly.
That's what the positive fan does.
Loogie!
Show you how... Oh, I'm sorry, Sean. You have something...
I just wanted to know... He's got something snarky to say. Go ahead, tough guy.
I just generally, if you really think about the amazement, when we all went to bed Sunday night, did anybody think we'd be finishing this show Friday with Daniel Jones released, Joe Douglas fired, and positive Tommy fired? Because I didn't.
That's true. It's a real turn.
Won't lead us. Shut up, negative Tommy. Nobody asked.
I will show you how broken the Jet fan base is. I put out a poll about a couple of hours ago. Very simple poll. And for those that listened to our show yesterday, you may know about this news that there's someone else trying to make a comeback. Yoenis Cespedes said, I want to come back. I want to play for the Mets. Right? That was a thing. We talked about it briefly yesterday. So I put a return out. I put a poll out on social media, Teak. I wrote, to my fellow Etz fans, the Met Jet fans, which return would you want to see more? Yoenis Cespedes to the Mets or Rex Ryan to the Jets? Now, you would think, this is easy. Cespedes, you give him an invite. He hits a few home runs in spring training. Who gives a rat's ass? If he makes the team, okay, fine. He's the DH once or twice a week. We all freak out. No harm, no foul. Or Rex Ryan, that could set your franchise back a half a decade. Tiki, 70% of people said Rex Ryan to the Jets.
You bet your anus it was Rex.
But that makes sense, too, because Rex Ryan is also entertainment. He's an entertaining guy.
Yo-Yo wasn't entertaining?
Yeah, but Cespedes is not going to meet the media all the time. We forget the Rex Ryan Jets were fun to hate. They were fun to love. So he is a great polarizing figure. He gets engagement. He's good for sports talk radio. So I can see Jet fans wanting a little excitement. He kind of is like Tommy DeVito. He gives excitement.
You know what else is fun, Tommy? Actually winning.
He won, though. He won with the Jets. But he won with the Jets.
He won for the first 2 years, and the last 4 years were a debacle.
So you got two. That's more than most.
Yeah. I don't like the Mangini's team thing. I think that's a lazy argument that I don't want to argue on this day.
Albeit true.
But not true, but not true.
I'm just kidding, because it's not, because he had to coach it.
Thank you, Teak. I see what you're doing. You're like, let's poke. All right, well, fine, Evan's right.
You pissed off Tiki earlier, and now he's fighting back.
When did
I
piss Tiki off?
Oh, you pissed him off?
You pissed him off by saying Daniel Jones is a big, fat quitter.
Tiki,
I
just want to let you know at 3 a.m. Evan called me to tell me Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer.
No, he didn't. God.
We argued about that yesterday. When we come back,
So average.
We get
I know Daniel Jones is heading down the turnpike to sign with the Baltimore Ravens, but maybe he needs to stop in Pittsburgh.
Are you reporting that or something? You seem very confident about this.
I just
now.
Believe that that's going to happen now.
Daniel Jones to the Ravens?
I really do.
It does make a lot of sense.
And the Giants do play the Ravens this year in a game the Ravens could
home.
Be up
I
in
got
the
got
third
them a little
quarter.
Bit late last night. I was recording something for SNY. It's like a Met documentary about this past season. So I walked in late. And usually, like, me and my wife talk for a little bit, maybe like 25 minutes, half hour, and then that's it. You know, she falls asleep. I watch sports. But last night, she wanted to talk a lot. And it was serious stuff. Not going to get into the details, but a real good, like, hour conversation. And the entire time, I was so distracted. I tried to focus. I tried to listen to what she was saying. But I kept staring at something. And no, it wasn't like what she was wearing or cleavage or anything like that. But it was actually something she was wearing. She was wearing a shirt. Very nice shirt. But I should tell you guys that she likes, when we go to bed, to wear old sports shirts. You know, the giveaways maybe. The things I get at Met or Net or Jet games.
With all your season tickets, there's probably a lot.
There's a lot of them. And usually I don't care. It's great. She's wearing a Jacob deGrom shirt. That's awesome. It actually gets me all excited. But this was a shirt that no matter what she was talking about, guys, I couldn't stop staring at Ben Simmons' face.
Oh, God.
She was wearing a Ben 15 shirt, Ben 10 shirt. And I'm like, oh, God, I can't say anything. She's talking about something serious. And all I wanted to say to her was, can you get that damn shirt off? I can't be looking at him. So, yeah, I felt like a real creep. Because
you didn't like the way he played the other night when they won in the midseason tournament
Tiki.
In the cup game?
Don't do this.
You didn't? I'm asking a serious question.
No, and it's funny. At the end of the night, I finally revealed this to her, that I was disgusted by the shirt.
Oh, God.
And we had a long discussion about my feelings towards Ben Simmons. She was like my psychiatrist. Because what my wife couldn't understand was, but he's still on your team. Like, if I was wearing a Kevin Durant shirt or a Brett Favre shirt, wouldn't that bother you more?
Yeah.
And I'm like, not really. This one bothers me more because he's still affecting me.
So there's a chance her and a Ben Simmons shirt talked for more minutes than he's actually played minutes.
Oh, we definitely did. We were doing 2 hours. I don't think Ben Simmons has added up 2 hours as a net. I'm obviously being sarcastic. So, yeah, it was rough, man.
But I think we can all agree that whether it's our wife or girlfriend, them wearing like a football player's jersey and nothing else is very sexy. But I wouldn't have my wife wear, say, a Tiki Barber jersey now, because I know Tiki. He's a personal friend now, so anytime I want to, you know, get it going
but
with my
Malik,
wife.
But a Malik Nabers jersey, you'd be totally
that's why,
cool
because I don't know Malik, so it would get me in the mood. How does Ben Simmons and your wife wearing a Ben Simmons shirt, you don't like Ben Simmons, so it's almost like going against getting in the mood with your wife.
Not, look, let me teach you something, Lugie, that you do not understand. We have kids.
So you're always in the mood.
The mood thing
gotcha.
Is not really sometimes an option.
Enough like, said.
When do we have opportunity?
Well, you have an opportunity.
We can nap or do that. What do you got?
So that isn't even it. It wasn't like it was a turnoff. It was I'm distracted by the conversation. But now I am curious. So your wife tonight wants to surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
Tiki jersey, nothing else. You're saying now we can't do this.
Yeah, because now I'm thinking of Tiki.
Okay.
So now I have to start thinking of something else.
All right, time
in
out.
My brain.
Time out. I want to pivot this now.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones jersey, nothing else.
No, because when I think of Daniel Jones, I'm like indifferent.
Okay.
Almost.
So you're good.
Yeah. Hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tiki, I don't know about you. I'd be very offended by this.
Why?
Because he's saying he'd be more pumped up about his beautiful wife wearing a Daniel Jones jersey as opposed to Tiki Barber. It's an all-time great.
Like, Tiki's bald. He looks good bald. Maybe I should shave my head bald. But I don't know if my hair would grow back if I didn't like it. So he'd get so inside of his own head that he couldn't function.
That's true.
He would be, I don't know. I'll stop.
He'd also think he's with you.
That's the point that I was getting at, is that I'd be thinking about Tiki during this because I know Tiki on a personal level now.
Wow.
That's my point. That's
where
my weird
you feel
brain
good,
is.
Teak. Yeah, Lugie would be thinking about you tonight at about 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm. That's why she's not doing it.
What'd you say?
You bet your anus. Let's have a threesome.
Let's go to Marco in the great state of Connecticut. How are you, Marco?
What's up, Marco? Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
It's definitely bittersweet losing, well, Daniel Jones leaving. But now that he's gone, I have a question for you guys about Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. If the next seven games, like, are bad and, you know, with the Giants lose every one of them. Do you think John Mara may look to letting them go and just starting a clean slate and maybe, you know, with the number one overall pick? Or what are your thoughts? Thanks, guys.
If the scenario that Evan laid out, I forget when you said this, Evan, maybe it was a week ago or so, if they just go 2-15
mm-hmm.
and everything is like despondent, guys are thinking about summer or whatever, off-season vacation, and the last thing anybody is worried about is playing winning football, then obviously their jobs are going to be reconsidered. There's no other way to consider it or
yes.
think about it.
Yes.
I just don't see that happening. And they'd have to be like bad blowout, nobody cares, we're checked out losses.
Well, they've got
I don't think we've seen that from Daniel Jones's, Brian Daboll's teams. Not even last year.
Right.
When they were beat up and had nobody really healthy and tackles both sides were compromised, your quarterback is out and you're just kind of like dead. You're dead in water. You know There's no way you're going. But they played hard in these games.
There isn't evidence that this is going to happen, but the New York Giants are about to play three games in a row against teams that I certainly wouldn't say they're better than, but teams that are not that good. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers
they're beatable. Let's put it that way. They're beatable.
I think that's a great way to phrase it. They're a very beatable team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. Going to Dallas, we know about the Cowboys' issues, especially with it being on Thanksgiving. That
very
is a
beatable right now.
Winnable, beatable team. The New Orleans Saints the following Sunday, that's a winnable game. Now, after that, the schedule changes. It stiffens up. What I would tell you this, if the New York Giants lose their next three games to those three teams, I think this is going to end horribly. And everyone's going to lose their job because I don't think they would be able to survive 2-15, which is what the question is. Now, there's a difference between do I think that's going to happen? I don't. But if it does, no, I think they would all lose their job, which is why whenever I hear an owner or a GM or anyone say, our intention is to keep this person. Well, your intention is always to keep this person.
Yep.
But if things go very badly, things change. Joe Judge had things change for him. Robert Saleh had things change for him, probably a little bit more unfairly considering it was so early in the season. But you get my point on this. So,
He wouldn't bench Aaron.
Right. Right. The Giants' current staff cannot survive 2-15. That's a prediction. I mean, I can't see it. I'd be very surprised if we're sitting here on January 6th, that Monday after the season ends, and we're like, oh, yeah, they went 2-15 and everyone's coming back.
Right. There would have to be some special things that went egregiously wrong that are not the fault of the head coach.
Right.
And in the football football sphere, it's hard, almost everything has some tie to the head coach.
Correct.
So it's almost impossible for what I just said to happen.
Now, one guy who has a tie to the head coach now is Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito is making his first start of this season. Tiki met with him a few hours ago. You saw the twinkle in his eye. He can command a room. There's a lot of excitement. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are making our official Tommy DeVito stat predictions, and coming up Monday at 4:30, we will revisit all of this and see how accurate we were. So let's start it off on our Tommy DeVito stat prediction game with a guy who I can't wait to hear his stat prediction because he is as bullish on Tommy DeVito as Mama and Dada DeVito. Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Lugauer.
Thank you, Evan. So we're giving our stats here for my man Tommy Cutlets for Sunday. Let's go. 20 completions on 27 attempts for 275 yards, 3 tutties, no turnovers, and 30 rushing yards in a Giants victory.
I actually expected more from you.
That's a lot, bro.
No, I'm not.
I gave you a lot there.
That's a wonderful week. I'm just saying I expected something a little bit more obscene than that. So I'm surprised you were very tentative.
Very tentative. I have over 300 total yards, 3 touchdowns, and a win.
No, I heard 275. Oh, yeah, the 30 combined, right.
Yeah, combined. Over 300 combined yards, 3 touchdowns. That's like Hall of Fame numbers for a Giant quarterback.
I still expected more. That's just me. Sean Morash.
24 of 33 for 307 yards. He rushes in a touchdown and throws one touchdown.
Wow. How about that?
Right.
I mean, that's almost as good as Tommy's. You're basically on the same page.
Yeah.
Tiki Barber, you saw him. You looked at. Are you allowed to make a stat prediction because you're calling the game?
I am not.
Damn it. Can we get Ben Tanky on the phone? Ben Tanky.
Just call up Jet.
That's right. I can ask Jet. All right. Give me some time. I mean, that'd be interesting. I think he'd bury your team, to be honest with you.
Would he?
He's negative on the Jets. He picked against the Jets last week when we asked him to pick the game. I think he would kill the Giants, and I'll tell you why. Giant fans are really obnoxious to him. He's told me this. Mm. Yeah.
Based on what? At this seven, what have they seen?
So the story. It's a great point, Sean. The story I heard from my son was that he asked me one day, came almost a few weeks ago, he said, is Daniel Jones good? And I said, no, he's terrible. Why are you asking me this? Because he hasn't drawn into football the way he has the other sports. So he'll know some baseball players, some basketball players. Football, I've tried, not as interested, though it is changing, by the way. The last few weeks, things have changed greatly. So I said, no, he stinks, but why? And he's like, my friend's a Giant fan. He's saying that he's better than Aaron Rodgers and he's better than the Jets. And I said, let me tell you something right now, son.
The Jets, this year, maybe.
I said, the Jets stink. All right, I'm not happy with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not happy with our team. Don't let these bullies tell you that, because that's crap. Okay, that's garbage. It's not true. So you know what you tell him? And I think I told him to say the record of the Giants at the time. It wasn't 2-8. And he said, okay, Dad, I got you. So he's already kind of, it's not your fault, Teague. It's not even your fault, Sean. You've done nothing wrong as Giant fans. But apparently these Giant fans at his school are very obnoxious.
That's tough. Hey, no kid should go through that. But to defend the bullies in this case,
yeah.
Daniel Jones does have a better chance of appearing in a playoff game than Aaron Rodgers this year.
Yeah, because you cut his ass.
Right.
Anyhow.
He's going to sign with the Baltimore Ravens. And so there you go.
Facts are facts.
Right, here are my stats for Tommy DeVito, since Teague is not legally allowed to give any. I'm going to go with 15 for 27, 177 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Mm. So a very blah performance by Tommy DeVito.
Very disrespectful.
It is a very gettable secondary here, Evan. I think you've been a little disrespectful here to Tommy.
I mean, the guy hasn't played this season. Like, why should I be respectful? What do I know?
He hasn't played because he's been sitting there maturing off everything from last year. This is a recipe for you to pick a Tommy DeVito. Todd Bowles coaching the team.
Yeah.
Come on. We expect better from you, Evan. This is a letdown.
No, it's my honest prediction. I mean, why don't we go back to last year? Like, he had some games kind of like that.
Yeah,
you know, his game against the Raiders when he came in was sort of similar to that.
Yeah, it was bad.
You know, you look at his game against, Green Bay threw for $1.58, but he was good.
Yeah,
I can't rip him for that.
Dallas, right?
His first start was Dallas, and he went 14 for 27 for 86 yards.
And that, that was bad from jump.
Right.
And it wasn't his fault.
It was a good 86 yards.
But nevertheless, you're a good 87 yards.
Yeah. Tommy D.
But those stats are kind of similar to what I just said. His stats against Washington were very good. 18 for 26, 246, three touchdowns, zero picks. Very similar to what Tommy just gave.
Yep.
His numbers against the Patriots, a 10-7 win, so they didn't exactly light up the score.
Bad weather. Nobody could throw in.
Okay. 17 for 25, 191 yards and a touchdown.
That's 400 yards in good weather.
But it wasn't. It was 191 yards, bro. Those are the numbers. Stop fighting with me because of the weather.
Was that Jalen Hyatt's 100-yard game?
Yes.
Was it? How about that?
Against the Pats, yeah.
His game against the Saints, 20 for 34, 177 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. By the way, those are very similar to the numbers I just gave.
Bad weather in New Orleans. I know they're in a dome, but there was bad weather outside the dome.
I agree.
Even without even realizing, Evan, you just kind of you're averaging Tommy DeVito.
I didn't mean to. I didn't look at
it. But I'm just saying, you just are. It's just your gut on it. And look, the interesting thing is that Tommy DeVito didn't have the receiving core that he has this year with Wandell and obviously Malik Nabers. And Wandell, he was healthy fully for the first time last year, right? And so the Malik Nabers and you got Theo Johnson's in there. Jalen Hyatt had a decent game a week ago. So there's plenty of targets for him to get the ball to. Tyrone Tracy is running back, who gets the ball out of the backfield formerly as a wide receiver. And the Buccaneers defense has struggled this year. Now they get some help because they get Jamel Dean back, who's more of a cover corner. You likely see him on Malik Nabers when they show up, match up on Sunday. But you know what Todd Bowles does. You guys know it because you had him as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bring pressure. And especially with a young quarterback and Tommy DeVito, he's going to get pressured, or at least try to get confused into thinking he's getting pressured, getting the ball out of quick, throwing into zones, and maybe get some turnover. So you're probably closer to right, Evan, but again, Tommy DeVito, it feels like he just understands
when has grown from a year ago, despite not playing, if that makes sense.
No, no, I agree with that. And I think that you may hear those numbers and say, Evan's a hater or I'm being negative. No, no, no. What I'm doing is, and I think this is the interesting case study in the Tommy DeVito talk, is we are probably unfairly to him, hyping him up a lot more than the reality. What is the reality of Tommy DeVito? We don't know. We don't have a big sample size. But the idea that we're expecting 307 yards passing like Sean did, or three touchdown passes like Lugie did, I think is a very unfair expectation, even against a flawed Buccaneer defense. And so I think my numbers are probably more accurate to what he is. Because the odds are he's not what Tommy is dreaming he is. And I don't mean DeVito, I mean Lugie. Like, no offense, it's just the odds are he's probably just a backup in this league. That's the likeliest scenario. So I know we're excited. And by the way, you don't have to believe me on this. I do hope I'm wrong. I hope Tommy DeVito's the answer. I have no ill will towards him. I don't have any ill will towards the Giants. I think it's an awesome story. I'm not a hater the way I am with the Knicks and maybe some other teams around here. I hope he's great. But realistically, I think my line of 15 for 27, 177 yards, a touchdown and an interception is just the likeliest outcome of what happens on Sunday.
All right, put a pin on in those stat numbers, because when we do our picks later, because I think I have a good feel for where you're going, let's bring this back up.
Oh, trust me, they're all consistent.
Okay. Because I think I know where you're leaning in this game, and then those stats don't really back up your pick.
Oh, no, no, no. It's all going to be backed up well.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Tommy's very nervous because yesterday we went head-to-head, and Tiki and Sean went head-to-head. We were split as a show on our pick last night.
Yes, we were.
Both me and Sean correctly took the points with the Cleveland Browns.
Sean said outright, so he was more right than you.
Oh, that's fine. He was outright. Good for you. I did not think the Browns would win that game. I did not. Especially late in the game when the Steelers were up 18-17. I thought it was a perfect cover. But whatever. I got it right.
It's funny because it was 18-17. You know what I said as I was watching that game?
What?
This is where Jameis throws a pick six.
Oh, and they get the cover. That's a thought, man. Especially when they had fumbled on the earlier possession. Or they fumbled on the earlier possession.
Right.
So, Lugie's nervous because we're tied now. Because I got that game right and he got it wrong. We're tied for first place. And he's very nervous about all the picks I make. Because for him, he needs to finish in first place. And I wish you the best of luck. You may finish in first place. You may not. I don't know what's going to happen.
I think I have a good read with you with where your picks are, and I think I know where you're leaning with this game.
Well, coming up at 5:40, we will make those picks. But those are our official stat predictions for Tommy DeVito.